We come now to our shorter catechism lesson, question number 103, which asks, what do we pray for in the third petition? And the answer is, in the third petition, which is, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we pray that God, by his grace, would make us able and willing to know, obey, and submit to his will in all things, as the angels do in heaven. Well, this petition seems pretty simple, right? We just pray, thy will be done. But it's not quite as simple as it may appear. The difficulty comes when we consider what exactly is meant by this word, will. When we consider Scripture as a whole, we see that the will of God can be spoken of in different senses. There is, for example, God's secret will. That is his counsel or decree by which all things come to pass by his foreordination. And then there is God's revealed will, that is his precepts or commands. The secret will of God is sometimes called the decretive will. God's decretive will cannot be known except as it unfolds in the events of providence or is revealed through special revelation. We see this aspect of the will of God, for example, in Ephesians 1, where Paul writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Note here that our election and predestination are said to be according to the good pleasure of his will. Our election and predestination are willed by God. They're done without our involvement. He didn't consult with us. He didn't have a meeting with us. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And this will cannot fail to come to pass. We see this again in Romans 9, where Paul writes, God has mercy on whomever he wills, and he hardens whomever he wills. You will say to me then, well, why does he still find fault? For who can resist his will? Well, Paul then answers that question. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have the right or the power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? Again, we see this will of God that determines all things and cannot successfully be opposed or resisted. The psalmist declares in Psalm 115 that our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. In Daniel 4, which happens to be one of my favorite portions of Scripture, we read of King Nebuchadnezzar coming back to his senses after the Lord made him go mad for boasting in his power and glory. And the king reacts with these words. He says, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? And God declares in Isaiah 46, remember this and show yourselves, men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. From ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it, and I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. Keep in mind, in this context, God is contrasting himself to false gods and idols. These idols created in the minds of men. In other words, according to God himself, one of the key characteristics that sets him apart from all false gods and idols as being the one true God is that he decrees everything that comes to pass. Beloved, if your concept of God dismisses this, you're no longer talking about and worshiping the one true God. And so you can see why Reformed theologians would speak of this decretive will of God. in which all things are brought to pass according to his counsel. And this will cannot be opposed, it cannot be resisted, it cannot be thwarted. But we also have to recognize in Scripture there are places in which the phrase the will of God appears to be speaking of something different. For example, prime example of this, Jesus says in Matthew 7, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Notice in this text, the will of my Father is spoken of as something that can be resisted and opposed. Also notice that the will of my Father is contrasted to lawlessness. In other words, to do the will of the Father is to practice the law of God. Hence, theologians have recognized this aspect of the will of God and often refer to it as the preceptive will of God, that is, his precepts or commands. And God's preceptive will is made known in Scripture, most notably in the Ten Commandments, as we've been hearing from our pastor in those sermons on the law of God. Unlike God's decretive will, which cannot be successfully resisted, the preceptive will of God is often and constantly resisted and opposed by rebellious man. So this raises the question regarding this petition. When we pray, "Thy will be done," what exactly are we talking about? Are we to have in mind God's decretive will or God's preceptive will? Well, you may be surprised to learn that when you read various theologians, even among the Reformed, the answer hasn't been so cut and dry. Some insist that only God's preceptive will is in view, but there are others who do not exclude God's decretive will. And you may be thinking, well, how can it involve God's decretive will? If his decree cannot be thwarted, opposed, or resisted, and it absolutely must and will come to pass, why should we pray for it to be done? And I do believe that is a good point. Yet, I personally take the position that both aspects can be in view. It is likely that the predominant aspect of our Lord that he had in mind was the preceptive will of God. But I do not believe it has to exclude the decretive. Listen to how our larger catechism answers this question. Larger Catechism 192, it says in the third petition, which is, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," acknowledging that by nature we and all men are not only utterly unable and unwilling to know and do the will of God, but prone to rebel against his word, to repine and murmur against his providence, and wholly inclined to do the will of the flesh and of the devil, we pray that God would by his Spirit take away from ourselves and others all blindness, weakness, indisposedness, and perverseness of heart, and by his grace make us able and willing to know, do, and submit to his will in all things, with the like humility, cheerfulness, faithfulness, diligence, zeal, sincerity, and constancy, as the angels do in heaven. End of quote. Notice here that the vines not only acknowledge that we are prone to rebel against his word, which I take to be referring to the preceptive aspect of God's will, but it goes on to say that we are also prone to repine, that is, to be discontent and to murmur against God's providence. And what is God's providence but that by which God, the creator of all things, doth uphold, direct, dispose, and govern all creatures, actions, and things, from the greatest even to the least, according to his infallible foreknowledge and the free and immutable counsel of his own will, says our confession. And so it is that when we pray, "Thy will be done," we can pray in both senses of the word, but not in the same manner. First, let us consider what we are to pray and meditate upon when praying, "Thy will be done," in the first sense. Beloved, understand that everything that comes to pass in your life does so by the most wise and holy providence of God. Nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, there's no exceptions, good and evil, riches and calamities, nothing happens in your life apart from God's free and immutable counsel. And it matters greatly to God how you respond to his providence in your life. You know, if Job were standing here before us today, He might say to his beloved, I got a newsflash for you. Not everything in your life is going to happen as you plan it. We don't plan on cancer. We don't plan on early deaths. We don't plan on going in on a Friday and getting laid off with no warning whatsoever. We don't plan on certain wicked idiots getting into office in our land. There's a ton of stuff that happens in our life that we don't plan on. The question is, how are you going to respond? Will you thankfully accept God's merciful providences in your life? And will you patiently submit in those times when you are afflicted of God? Or will you murmur and whine and complain against your Lord? In Acts 21, Paul and his friends learned by the Holy Spirit through the prophet Agabus that when Paul goes to Jerusalem, the Jews are going to bind him and hand him over to the Gentiles. And when Luke and others heard these things, they pleaded with Paul, do not go up to Jerusalem. But what was Paul's response to his friends? What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when he would not be persuaded, we see, says Luke, saying, the will of the Lord be done. Beloved, can you pray that and mean that in your daily life? Even when things seem to be going to pot, do you delight in what God has appointed in your life? Do you take great cheer and confidence in the providence of God in your life and trust him and trust that God knows what he is doing with you? Or do you question his wisdom and his promises to you in Christ? But secondly, we can pray, thy will be done, also in the second sense, and that in reference to the commandments of God. Witsius writes that by praying in reference to the will of the divine commandment, one, we declare that we acknowledge it as wise, righteous, just, and holy, and that we delight in the law of God after the inward man. So that with our great pattern we say, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And two, we acknowledge that we have not strength to overcome the hindrances of the flesh and all the power of the enemy, which both within us and without us opposes the divine will. Of ourselves, we cannot presume to execute so arduous a task. Therefore, three, while we declare our own insufficiency, we humbly implore the aid of our Heavenly Father, without whom we can do nothing, but through whom, strengthening us, we can do all things. End of quote. Beloved, is that your desire today? Do you actually believe that the law of God, his will for you, is better and more perfect than your own will and understanding? Do you believe that God knows what is best for your life, regardless of what you may think is best, or what culture at large is telling you is best for your life? Does your sin grieve you? Are you dissatisfied with everything found in you which is not agreeable to the commandments of God? Pray these words then, thy will be done. So, in conclusion, with regard to the revealed will of God, when we pray thy will be done, we request, says Thomas Vincent, that ourselves and others who naturally are dark and ignorant of his will may by his word and spirit be enabled to know and understand it. And we also request that ourselves and others who naturally have in our hearts an enmity against God's law might be inclined and enabled to obey and do whatever is the will of God to command. But then secondly, with regard to the secret will of God, when we pray thy will be done, we request, says Vincent, that ourselves and others might have compliance of will with the will of God, so as thankfully to accept God's merciful providences and to patiently submit unto afflictive providences. Thy will be done is a prayer of submission, and it is a prayer of dedication. It prays that God will accomplish his purposes and that we will accept his providences in our life, both good and bad, and also that we will obey his precepts. So that concludes our lesson for today.